Welcome to the Swirl World Podcast, brought to you by theswirlworld.com. We're here to help you navigate the exciting world of interracial and intercultural relationships. Whether you've been involved in an interracial relationship for a long time, or you're new to the idea of swirling someone of another race or culture, this is the podcast for you. Here are your hosts, Michelle Matthews Calloway and Adrian London Leach.
Welcome to another edition of the Swirl World Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Calloway, also known as the Swirl Girl. In the Swirl World, we discuss all things swirling, dating, marriage, relationships, parenting, you name it, we cover it in the Swirl World. My co-host, Adrian London Leach, is not with us today, but she should be back with us on the next podcast. So shout out to Adrian, and we look to see you then. Now, we have a very interesting guest on the show for you today. Our guest is John Bradbury. He's an interracial romance author. And I think it's safe to say he's not your typical interracial romance author. And that's because John is a white man who writes interracial romance novels. So while that's soaking in, I'm going to welcome John to the show. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing well. So how's things out there in, I believe you're in Nevada?
Yes. Mother Nature is playing a bit of an April joke on us. So there was a storm came through yesterday, and it was not even 50 degrees, and it was kind of cold and gray and soggy yesterday.
Oh, really? In Nevada? Because, like, you're in Reno, am I correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and isn't it kind of known to be hot and deserty there?
Well, not like Vegas. So, up here in the northern part of the state, we're more, have more variable weather than you might think. Like yesterday, like I said, it was, you know, cold and gray and soggy, and it's just, the weather got us, has a sense of humor around here, I gotta say.
Okay, and I think I was thinking of, Las Vegas. I have a couple of friends who live there, and they always talk about how hot it is, so, okay, well, it's nice here in Lafayette. It's supposed to get up to 80.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The sun is shining, so it's looking real good. But we'll go ahead and get right into our conversation. Tell me, first of all, tell our listeners a little bit about you. Give us a little bit about your background, et cetera.
Well, I've been a published author for about 10 years now, and I have 11 books out so far. And I'm busy working my little fingers to the bone on more books. And so people can rest easy. I haven't retired from writing. I just got more on the way.
Awesome. So how did you get to start?
Well, it was back before Facebook and Twitter got started. I was using a service called Yahoo Groups. And I came across a Yahoo group for a publisher known as Ecstasy Books. And so naturally it said, you know, check out our website. We're accepting new submissions from new authors. And so I went to their website, and I submitted my manuscript for a book called Colored Lines. And a few days later, they emailed me back saying, hey, we like your work, and we'd like to publish it. And so that's how I got started.
Okay. And so you said Yahoo Group said that takes me back a ways.
Yes, this was back in 2004.
Okay, 2004. And so you said the first book was called Colorblind?
Yes, my very first published work ever is called Colorblind.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about that book.
Well, it's about this woman who, at the beginning of the story, she's in a relationship with a man who's of the same race, and it's not going too hot. It's not working out very well at all, and she's kind of had her fill of dating inside her race, and so she kind of makes the decision to leave herself open to dating men from another race.
Okay, so now you can go ahead and tell us what race we're talking about with all these people.
She's a black woman, and like I said, she's dating a black man as the story opens, and like I said, it's not going too hot. It's not very fulfilling for her. And so she kind of makes the decision because her friend, Autumn, is married to a white guy. And so she thinks, well, you know, if my friend has, you know, met a man that she can fall in love with and get married to, you know, so can I. So she kind of makes the decision for herself to leave herself open to an interracial relationship.
Okay, gotcha. So now tell me and tell our listeners, what made you decide to do an interracial romance? Is that because of the publisher, or how did you get to that specific genre?
Well, I originally started out writing just regular romance, and by that I mean just white bread romance that I'm going to call it, and just about, you know, people in the same race and that kind of thing. And then I just tried one day. I thought, you know, I'll just give this a shot. And I wrote a story about a white guy involved with a black lady, and it turned out so good that I kept going with it. And I was writing short stories for this amateur erotic fiction website, and it turned out so good that I just kept writing stories like that, and that's how Colorblind eventually came to be.
Okay, so now, are you a swirler?
Yes, I am. Although I haven't dated in quite a while now, but yes, I do appreciate a beautiful black woman, definitely.
Okay, so, and I mean, that's pretty interesting that you would pick that particular niche, and so it wasn't just make book sales or to set yourself apart. And when I say set yourself apart, I mean to make sales, to set yourself apart in that way. But this is something... Well, tell me a little bit more about why that, other than that it was going well. Tell us a little more.
Well, I felt that it resonated with myself in a personal way. Mm-hmm. It was kind of hard to explain, but I just felt, it just felt truer to myself to write about interracial romance.
Okay. I got you. And I guess because that's something you're involved in, so
it's
more of an interest to you. So now, getting back to you being an interracial dater or a swirler, how many years was it that you were involved in that? Is that something you did from your youth, or did you kind of get into that as an adult? What's the background on that?
It wasn't until I was, it was well after college, I'm going to say like a couple of years after college, that I started to realize that I was more attracted to black women than to maybe other kinds of women. That it wasn't something like on Friends that a woman married to a guy for years and years before she gets up one day and says, "Honey, I'm a lesbian. See you later." Mm-hmm. It was it was more like a kind of thing that I preferred black women, and so that's how that got started. Yeah.
Okay. And would you kind of go into what thought processes you went through mentally or emotionally?
Well, I had a brief period of what my family going to think, because part of my family lived in Oklahoma, which is not known for its liberal stance on dating, as you might be aware of.
Right.
And so, naturally, I was a little bit concerned about how my family might react. I was a little concerned about how they might react. But other than that, I just kind of went with it, and I was sort of a let's see what happens, and whatever happens, happens kind of thing. But I was a little bit concerned at first to see how my family might react.
Okay, and I guess I'm drilling down a little bit, because we hear a lot from on blogs and on YouTube channels, et cetera, about the couples and black women in particular talking about interracial dating. But it's interesting when you can hear it from the man's perspective, what he was thinking in his mind, what exactly is it about black women that he finds attractive as opposed to maybe other races of women. So that's why I was just curious to kind of dig a little deeper into what was going through your mind. Was it just so much the physical components, personality? Can you talk a little bit more about that?
That's a really good question. I will admit that at first it was kind of the more physical aspect of a black woman's beauty that originally attracted me at first. But then I, um, became friends with, because I, at the time, I was using AOL Instant Messenger a lot. And there was this lady from Philadelphia that I talked with a lot. And so as I got to know her, and just the, you know, Black people have, you know, family is important. And my family background is not exactly one that I would want to brag about, because I just another thing that struck me was that you know, Black women seem more willing to sit down and kind of talk things out instead of just go from zero to arguing. Mm-hmm. You know, and just so I remember that when I was little, there was this sitcom on, and it was about an interracial couple, and and just to give you a sense of the social, this was in mid-1970s, you know, and I was in grade school at the time, and for there to be a sitcom on about a interracial couple with, you know, major stuff, it was like no earth tilting off its axis major.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, planted a seed in my mind kind of early about that, you know, interracial relationships are okay.
Gotcha. And so as you matured and got older, you eventually had a chance to kind of act on it and just really find out what it was all about.
Right, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, I know we're talking about your novels and everything, but that just kind of piqued my interest. And one of the things that we want to do on the podcast is just really get an inside view into whomever we are having conversation with. So I appreciate you being so willing to talk about that and share just your heart and what was motivating you at the time. So now getting back to your romance novels, what made you choose erotica?
Oh, well, it was kind of an expanding field at the time, kind of like with e-books themselves, and nowadays, you know, it's considered the thing to, you know, be able to buy an e-book and download it to your cell phone or to a e-reader, but back when I first was getting published, it was just starting out, and so it was kind of an expanding field, and with the advent of e-books, it's kind of allowed people to be able to buy these kinds of books and not have anyone wonder, what is he reading and what on earth is she reading, that kind of thing. So you can buy your books and not have to wonder about or what people are thinking, that kind of thing. So it was just kind of a perfect storm kind of thing, and I just came in at the right time.
So getting into the fact that people are able to download books to their Kindles and Nooks and their cell phones, et cetera, and, you know, it's not like having a physical book where people can see the cover and know what you're reading and everything. What has been the response of your audience to your books? Can you give me a little info as far as the demographics of who reads them?
Well, you know, I've gotten mostly response from Black women. I haven't gotten a whole lot of fan mail from my fellow guys out there, but I know that there are guys out there reading my work. But I haven't really gotten so much response from them as from Black women, most of which have been very positive. I haven't gotten very much negative feedback from them at all. Although I have seen a few reviews of my work that it makes me kind of wonder where they're coming from. But anyway, but yeah, almost all of the feedback that I've been getting from readers and Facebook has been just a real treasure trove of getting people's responses, you know, getting people's feelings on my books, kind of thing. So it's been valuable for that. Mostly, and I'd say it's been about 99% positive.
So now, tell us the process you go through when you're getting ready to write a story. Kind of walk us through that.
Okay. Well, sometimes I don't know where an idea is going to come from. It just kind of drops into my head, and I'll come up with a character. That's usually the first thing I do. I come up with a character, and I'll put them in a situation. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad situation. So it can be like one of my characters, I had her be a teacher for many years, and then all of a sudden, bam, she gets laid off. And that was partly inspired by the situation here in Nevada. A couple of years ago, we had a major budget crisis, and one of the first things to go was naturally the teachers. And so that kind of inspired me to write that part of a storyline. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad situation that a character is in. They could have a really good situation. And then all of a sudden, bam, everything changes. And all of a sudden, the situation isn't so good anymore. So we want to get out of that, you know, get back to our good situation. And then I have them make a choice. You know, the character is going to do X to get out of whatever bad situation they're in, or try to stay in the good situation that they're in. And so they decide, well, I'm going to do this, and then the plot just kind of goes from there.
Okay. Do you have do you work from an outline, or do you have it all figured out in your mind, how you're going to get them from point A to point B?
You know what? I've tried outlining and writing notes, and it just doesn't work out for me. I write from the hip. I don't know what it is. I write best from the hip, apparently. I sometimes kind of do like brief sketch kind of notes, just real brief, you know, like character sketches or what have you. But other than that, I don't even bother writing an outline or anything like that. There is this program called YWriter that someone tipped me to that write one scene at a time, and you can like electronically pin research to each scene and that kind of thing. I tried using that, and it just didn't work out for me very well, and I just write better from the hip, it seems.
Okay. And do you type, or do you handwrite?
Oh no, I type. I have a laptop. I had a big desktop computer for like 7 or 8 years, and it sadly has passed its prime. And so last summer I bought a laptop, so I've been hammering away on my laptop.
Okay, so now and is this something you do full time? Do you write? Are you a full time author?
Yes, I'm write full time. I've tried working for regular work. It doesn't work out for me that well. So I'm kind of, thanks to the never-ending Great Recession, I can say I'm a full-time writer. I do volunteer at a local homeless resource center here in town, but other than that, I write full-time.
Okay. Now, getting back to your writing process, how do you write your erotic scenes? What do you do? Tell us about that process. I know it's different for every author.
I put on some good music. Mostly. I also watch, I don't know if you've ever seen the series Single Ladies.
No, I have. I've heard about it, but I've never watched it.
Well, I it's about the only soap opera I watch, strangely enough. But anyway, yeah, I watch it to get kind of inspired, I guess, to get in the mood to write a love scene, or I listen to the right music, like all, like I have a whole playlist on my computer that, you know, the sexy music that will help me get into like Neo or Alicia Keys is good, and so yeah, I listen to music to help me get in the mood.
Okay, and so what part do the scenes play as far as your story? How many erotic scenes can a reader expect?
I usually try to include at least two, although one book, The Favor, it has, let me see, one, two, three. It has three love scenes in there, and it kind of depends on the book. I try to use love scenes in my books kind of like the same way that action scenes are used in action movies, in that the love scene is kind of acts as a pivot point to make the plot move along a different vector than ordinarily it might otherwise move. I know that sounds kind of hoity-toity, but that's kind of the way it works. That the love scene kind of acts to change things a little bit, so they move along a different course than they otherwise might.
Mm-hmm. And so as you're writing from the hip, kind of flows out. You haven't pre-planned that it's going to do that.
Well, when I come to the love theme, I do try to. It's really hard work, but yeah, I try to map everything out in terms of where they're at, you know, what the general context is, what kind of, you know, what the chemistry between the characters is like, you know, so that kind of, you know, like with my book, The Professor, there's this scene where the female character, Danielle Evans, has never been with a white guy before, and so she hires this guy to help set up some video cameras for her video shoot, and naturally he's a white guy, and she's terribly attracted to him just for the sake that he's white. And so there's this one night where she's out in the swimming pool trying to cool off, and of course he makes the mistake of doing the same thing, and you know, things just kind of happen from there. And so I made that love scene kind of not manic, I guess is the word I want, but kind of frantic, because you know, she's never been with a white guy before, so she wants to experience everything, kind of thing. And so each love scene that I write is, you know, it's unique in that way. There's the context, and then there's the characters and the chemistry between the characters. So every love scene is unique in some way.
And how about people who, you know, because there are some people who don't read erotica, don't care for it. They consider it to be word porn. What do you think of people who may be turned off by erotica or don't?
Yeah, I've heard of that myself too. And to that I would say that people who consider erotica to be one step above porn, if that much, I would say that your garden variety porn doesn't even try to set up a situation or plot or anything like that. And writers don't consider what they do work, but it is work to be able to write a love scene and give it mood and give it context and give it meaning, and not just have two people just start doing a nasty, you know, for no apparently good reason other than they're supposed to start doing a nasty, mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. So to that, I would say that it takes work. It's not just, you have to have skill to write a good love scene, that much depth of it in porn, I would say. But, you know, in erotica, you have to have talent to bring it off so that people will enjoy it.
Okay, gotcha. So, I mean, there's a plot and there's a reason. It's not just aimless, physical activity in a book.
Yeah.
The way it is in a lot of porn movies. Okay. All right. So now tell us about your upcoming project. Do you have any new books coming out? What are you working on?
Yes, I've got a couple of projects that I'm working on right now. I've got a project going on with Michelle Wellesley, author of the Fire series that some people may have seen recently. And I've got a project going on with her. And then I've got a couple of solo projects that I'm working on. I've got a completely new story that I'm working on. And then I also have a sequel to The Professor that I'm working on, as well as a sequel to Sugar Daddy. So I've got a couple of things going, yeah.
So now how do you divide yourself out like that? Because you've listed about three or four books, it seems, that you're working on. How do you, schedule-wise, how are you doing that?
Oh, that's a good question. Right now I'm kind of giving priority to The Professor sequel. Because it's almost finished anyway, and so I'm trying to get that one finished and out of the way so I can start working on the other projects. Because I'm more than a little bit behind. Sometimes it's hard to be a writer when you have real life interfering. And so last year was not the best in terms of my real life. I had to suddenly move out of an apartment that I was living in. I had to move out. It was that and the combination of my trusty desktop computer went bye-bye, so I had to kind of hustle and get a new computer, because I was just afraid that my desktop computer was going to die any minute. And so, yeah, I, I, um, things kind of were a little bit hectic last year, but things have calmed down nicely, and so I'm just writing as fast as I can, but I'm trying to also put out a quality product.
So now, what advice would you give people who, I know there are many people who'd like to break into writing and romance writing. Can you give them some pointers and tips?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The first thing I would say is to don't try to be like everybody else. Use what you have personally to make your writing stick out in some way. And every writer has something unique about themselves, whether it's their writing style or the genre that they like to write in, or, you know, something about them that makes them unique. Everybody, you know, that's the great thing about writing, is that everybody has something unique about what they do and how they do it, that kind of thing. That would be my first piece of advice. Be unique. Let yourself be unique. There's people out there that are going to love your writing. Second thing I would say would be to read everything. And I take my own advice. I'm reading everything constantly. Whenever I go to the grocery store, I have no shame about it. I'll read women's magazines all the time. You know, even though I'm a guy, I've been told more than once that I write most convincingly as a woman, and I'll let people who actually read my books decide on that. But I've been told I write most convincingly as a woman, and that's partially how I do it, is that I read a lot of women's magazines, and that's how I get, you know, into the female fighting kind of thing. So that would be the other thing I would recommend, is to read as much as you can get your hands on. And the reason why I would suggest that is to get yourself exposed to as many different writing styles as you possibly can. Because, you know, even read books that are not your usual cup of tea. You know, because you'll never know whose writing style you may suddenly come across that you think, yeah, that's the person I want to write like. But at the same time, like I said before, you want to bring your own uniqueness to it. So, you know, don't write exactly like someone else, but at the same time, you want to read as much as you can to get exposed to as many different styles of writing and types of writing as possible can.
And what about breaking into the business? What about that?
Oh man, I'll tell you, the person who wants to get self-published, I would say, first of all, more power to them, but there are things that you have to be able to do as a self-published writer that, you know, for me personally, I obviously have a publisher, and they do the mundane business aspects of being a publisher that I don't have to worry about because I'm just a writer. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I'm talking about with, you know, people who become self-published. They gotta, you know, it's not just the writing. You have to be able to, you know, keep track of stuff, you know, in your mind as a business person, and that you also have to worry about in addition to being a writer. So for the person who is considering becoming self-published and going into business for themselves, I would have them sit down and honestly ask themselves if they think they have a head for business, because they're going to need it.
Mm-hmm. And so from a publishing standpoint, do they do the marketing, the advertising, all of that for your book?
The publisher I'm with, they do some marketing for me. Like they'll come out with a mass email saying, hey, these are the new books that we're going to be coming out with this week, that kind of thing. And they'll put your book on the front page of the website for the month, so that visitors to the website can easily see it and that kind of thing. But you have to do some of the marketing for yourself, like Facebook and Twitter are ideal for that kind of thing, because you can just go onto your Facebook account, post something on your status, and, you know, bam, it goes out, you know, and to a lot of people. And, you know, they, from there, they spread the word of Twitter I found to be not as useful as Facebook is in that sense, but Facebook is very useful for notifying a lot of people at the same time, and not have to worry about, am I putting in their email address right, that kind of thing. And the marketing aspect of it is part of the reason that I'm just glad that I'm not self-published, because there are other aspects of to being a writer, you know, being in business for yourself other than just the marketing, that I don't know. Hats off to anyone else who thinks they can handle it, but I can honestly say I'm not one of those people.
Okay. Gotcha. So now, with your publisher, do you have an editor? Have you ever had a book sent back for any reason?
The one book, The Favor, my publisher originally sent it back as I had originally wrote it and said that, you know, we will publish it, but it's probably not going to sell. So I kind of thought about it for a little bit, and I was like, you know, I wasn't very pleased about it, but I kind of thought about it for a minute, and I was like, well, I'll go ahead and so I had to do a page one rewrite of this whole book, and but I can honestly say I like the way it turned out after the rewrite. So it's, but yeah, to answer your question, yes, I have had my publisher send, it's only happened once so far, but yeah, I have had my publisher send back a book and have me do a page one rewrite.
Wow, so that means when you say page one, you mean start at page one and just go through it and redo it.
Yeah, go back from the go back to the beginning and go through the whole thing and change everything, yeah.
And so now, touching on that, what makes for a successful book? What are the components that make for a book that will sell?
Well, you have to start with good writing, and by that I mean you have to have a good initial setup. And by that I mean you have to have the character in a kind of situation. Well, maybe not necessarily in a type of situation, but, you know, write it so that the person reading this book can look at the character and the character's situation and say, yeah, I know what that's like. Or, you know, I know how that feels, that kind of thing. That would be one thing about that books that people like is that they have a situation that the reader can relate to, or more like the person is someone that the reader can relate to, that kind of thing.
Okay. Gotcha. You know, you mentioned earlier that you've gotten compliments on being able to write from a woman's perspective and about you reading women's magazines and staying up to date. What about the flip side of that from the male perspective? Is that strictly from your own thoughts and experiences, or what do you do to shore up the male character in your book?
Obviously, I'm a guy, so, you know, I know what it's like to be a guy. I know what goes through the male psyche and their thoughts and feelings, that kind of thing. And I guess that's partially why I enjoy writing from a female perspective a lot, because I don't know everything about female psyche, but I think I got a fairly good grasp on it. But, you know, but like I said before, I'm a guy, so I really don't have to work that hard at portraying a male character in my books. I do, however, try my best to think up a good male character, though. I do that. I don't just put in just any male character in my book and say, hey, it's done. But I do my best to make him seem like a real guy, not just a cookie cutter guy or anything like that. So I do make certain that he's, you know, a real person, and he's not just there to prop up the wall kind of thing.
So are your lead characters always female?
With my first few books, I made sure that my books had both a male and a female lead character. Sugar Daddy was kind of unique in that I wrote it from the first person of only the female character, so it was kind of unique in that regard. And then The Favor was really unique in that I did have alternating first-person point of view from the two lead characters, but both of those characters were female, so it kind of, like I said, unique in that sense. But in both of those books, I made sure that I had a well-developed male character as well, so that, you know, I didn't want readers left with the impression that this guy is just in there just to have a male character in there.
And so you develop him, and he has the reader kind of gets to know the guy as well.
That the reader can get to know the male character as well as the female, yeah.
Okay. okay. And I ask that because some books I've read, obviously, the writer obviously favors the woman, and so you read more about her, and it's all about her, and the guy is just kind of stuck in there at convenient times for convenient things, but his character isn't really fleshed out nearly as well.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I really make an effort to avoid that because I want to give both characters equal play, so to speak. And that's kind of what I'm working towards in the sequel for Sugar Daddy, was that in the first book, Simone kind of starts out, it's like you were just saying, all about her kind of thing. And, because she's got this situation that she's doing her best to get out of. And by the end of the book, she's kind of, moving on and that kind of thing. But she's still kind of selfish about things. But then in the second book that I'm writing, she's going to be kind of making her own other type of journey, in that she's going to become more open and realize that it's not all about her kind of thing. So that's, I'm really eager to finish that book and explore that other aspect of her character.
Okay. So now, where can our listeners find you? Give us some contact information and tell us about your author page and your publisher page, etc.
I'm on Twitter at John B, JONB1969. Go ahead and friend me or follow me on Twitter. And then also, I'm on Facebook, and my page is called the Official John Bradbury Facebook, fan page. The Official John Bradbury fan page. And you can find me on Twitter there. And, like I said, I'm also on Twitter at JonB1969. And also I have, my own personal website through Wix. WIX.com, and I have the address for my webpage on my Facebook writer page.
Okay. And when can we expect your next book to come out?
I'm looking to finish it probably within the next couple of weeks or so. So hopefully it should be out sometime in the summertime.
Okay. Well, we'll be looking forward to that, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today.
Oh, I was happy to do it. This is my first time typing, so it's kind of a new thing for me, and who knows, it might end up in a book.
Well, that'd be great. If it does, let us know, and we'll be sure to let our listeners know about that. Again, thank you.
Well, thank you for having me today. I enjoyed it.
All right, and that's it for our show today. We appreciate all our listeners. Thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to chatting with you next time. Until then, keep swirling, and remember, life is better in the swirl world. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining the Swirl World broadcast brought to you by theswirlworld.com. Please take a minute to visit our website and join our growing community by subscribing. You can also visit the Swirl World on Facebook. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast. Until next time, remember, life is better. In the Swirl World, keep swirling.
Endless passion for interracial love.
Find us on Facebook.
Facebook.com/theswirlworld.
The Swirl World. Swirling as it should be.